这小孩子在发了上帝福的阶段，这个身体呢，不是 I know your care for us, I know your love for us.In our daily lives, to show that love to others. Amen. Amen. One of the fun things about preparing a sermon is looking at the background of what's happening, Look at the people who are involved. Jeremiah is a case in point. He's the son of a chap called Hilkiah. Hilkiah was the priest of King Josiah. You can read Josiah's story in 2 Kings. He was a good king.Came after a number of bad ones. If you read through Kings, it's interesting, you've got so-and-so was a bad king, so-and-so was a bad king, and then you come to one, so-and-so was a good king, but Josiah was a good king. But he came after a lot of bad ones, notably a guy called Manasseh.Jeremiah started to prophesy during the reign of Josiah. For many years, Judah had been a subject nation of Assyria. Assyria was a great empire to the north of Judah. But by the time of Josiah, the Assyrian empire was disintegrating, as these empires tend to. And Egypt was also going through a weak phase.So Josiah had a bit more freedom. He brought in reforms to try and draw Judah back to God following the reign of Manasseh. Ultimately, Josiah wasn't able to do enough. And God punished Judah for its sins under Manasseh.Which included idol worship, possibly even child sacrifice. He wasn't a nice man. So one of the awful things for Jeremiah was that he knew that bad stuff was coming. One of his first prophecies was about invaders coming from the north.So he knew the bad stuff was coming, but he couldn't do anything about it. Inevitability doesn't make anything less painful. Last season, Darby had smacked a whole number of points deductions. It was inevitable we were going to get relegated, but it was still sore when it happened. Anyway, that's by the by.Pretty much all of this reading describes a prophet who is completely and utterly distraught. He knows the suffering which his people will have to endure, and he's going to suffer it himself. He suffers with them. He says, "Since my people are crushed, I am crushed.I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wounds of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears. With many passages in the Bible, there's a lot of darkness. Then towards the end of the passage, there's a but. Not so with this reading. This reading is nothing but darkness, nothing but suffering, nothing but horror, nothing but destruction, nothing but sorrow. But we know there is a but. The invaders did come. Jerusalem was destroyed. And the people went into exile. And the exile was a time of enormous sorrow, enormous hardship. If you want to know about that, just read Psalm 137 to get a feel of it. But actually there's a song, which I know, which we're going to have in a moment, which is the words of Psalm 137. And the words, the song itself, is a sorrowful song. So can we have that song now, please? How can I sing the Lord's song in a far-off land? In being exiled, they weren't just exiled from their homes, they felt exiled from God. But, and here's the but, the people did return. The temple was rebuilt. And while the exile may have felt like the end, it wasn't. I started this talk preparing it and thinking about it before the Queen died. And the mood of the reading seemed a very dark mood for the bright summer day that I was thinking about it. But then suddenly, it didn't seem like that at all. It didn't seem too dark, especially for her children, her grandchildren, for her great-grandchildren. And what they are facing, although much more publicly than most, is no different to what hundreds of thousands of people have been facing in the last 2 years even, and have faced through time immemorial the death of someone they loved. And it doesn't matter who the person was. Yes, death is inevitable. But it doesn't make it any easier for those behind. And for a time, the mood is very like this reading from Jeremiah. Totally distraught, not really knowing what to do, how to cope, because the grief is all-encompassing. The grief is everywhere. For a time, life is nothing but grief. Nothing but chaos, nothing but uncertainty. And yet, even here, there's a but. But life does go on, however painful it might be. And that in itself can bring some comfort, that life is continuing. But for us, there's the knowledge that we aren't in this by ourselves. The first few verses of that Psalm 23, are amazing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Here is the balm that Jeremiah couldn't find in Gilead. Here there is peace to replace the tumult. That last line is so telling. He restores my soul. When the soul has been ripped apart by the death of someone close, that restoration takes time. But it happens. Gradually. And there are bad days still, like the Jeremiah reading. But there are also days of restoration. My mother died over 20 years ago, and it's still painful sometimes. Particularly because there was a feeling that if she'd actually told the doctors she felt awful, they might have been able to do something. As a doctor herself, you'd have thought she'd have recognised that. But the sadness is less now. Although there's still the sorrow that things she didn't get to see. Mainly to do with grandchildren. But God is still restoring, and he continues to do that. For you, for me, for members of the Queen's family. And that is the big but. But God restores us. Pray. Father, we think now of all those who mourn, those who suffer following the death of a loved one. Father, restore them. Take peace. Help each one of us who mourns to know that you are with us. Have your arm around us, and you weep, and we weep. Help us in all we do, in all we are. Allow you to restore us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.